This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
As kids, we were told it's not polite to talk about religion, sex, or politics at the dinner table. But at the open table, nothing is off limits.
Welcome to the open table here as we just ponder pre-Halloween. You're on Joy 94.9. I'm Craig Brown. I'm hosting you at the table today. And as usual is my very own presenter of the year. That was a Freudian slip, wasn't it? But panelist of the year.
Oh, well,
Ethan
thank
Kyoto
you.
Kyoto Hall.
I feel so honored with this award that you bought for me. This is a massive.
Yeah.
Massive gold statue of me. It's beautiful.
Yeah, that took months creating that. This has gone in a different direction. Of course, the Open Table is coming to you from the lands of the traditional custodians, the Kulin Nations here in St Kilda. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and to our rainbow mob. And we're here to talk about important topics like sex, religion, family, identity, entertainment, not winning awards, politics, and health. And if you've missed some of the previous episodes, you can listen to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from, including joy.org.au/the open table. One or three of the podcasts that you could get are featuring our guest, which makes him the current reigning four-time champion on the show. Not only has he been on four times, he's supremely talented, he's gorgeous, he's a great singer-songwriter. Tom Nethersole, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Fourth time and no gold statue like Ethan.
Well, no.
What could I tell you?
To be fair, Ethan has turned up 50-odd times after promising to only be here for a month. So
you know what?
I just keep showing up.
I feel like he deserved something. Of course.
Highly deserved.
And Tom, you'll get something. Don't worry. Your EP, Father, Son, and the Space in Between, dropped last week. I was about to say to much acclaim. It seems like it's got much acclaim.
Yeah. It's gone very, very well. I've been very happy with the response so far.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And you're about to do a series of live gigs as well. Mm-hmm. And one of those is a little thing. Let me think of the name. Is it something? Spilt Milk?
Spilt Milk.
Who's headlining that?
Doechii, Kendrick Lamar, Dominic Fike, Samba.
So, hang on.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, lots of big names.
And then, Samba.
Yeah.
I'm 2 degrees from Samba.
2 degrees from Samba. 6 degrees of separation by the script.
That's right. Congratulations.
Thank you. I'm so excited.
That is huge.
Very, very excited.
And you got a few lead up gigs, but we'll talk about
that a little later. But yeah.
I've got tickets to one.
Woo!
I paid for them too. It's just unusual.
I'd put you in the door if you asked.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Refund?
No. I'll go to that one. Now I know I can go to others. You're not going to get me into Spilt Milk, though.
No. I can't even get my sister in.
That's completely.
They're all asking me, like, so how do you sneak me in? And I was like, I could barely get all my band members to get a ticket there.
Yeah, it was so tight that you couldn't get Tom Nethersole. You're just going to be Tom
for
that show. Like, Cher.
Very, very tight. What can I say?
Yeah, that's right. So we're going to jump straight in because even though you've been on the show, you know, people may not remember stuff. So we're just going to do some quick questions. You know how the gig works. Where do you identify on the queer spectrum?
I identify as queer. That's what I came out when I was in year 7. That's how I came out to my dad. And pretty much that just means that I'm attracted to whoever I'm attracted to.
Yeah.
Regardless of gender.
What's your passion?
I love creating and telling stories. The main form that comes in is making music, like this EP that just dropped last week. And yeah, I just love getting down to the nitty gritty of the exciting and the brutal and the vulnerable experience of being a human.
I can't wait for you to get vulnerable on an EP.
It's never happened before.
It's just such a closed book, Tom.
I know.
You're so clenched.
My walls are up.
Let it down. God, I just channeled Jiminy Glick for a moment there.
I have been watching so many Jiminy Glick interviews lately.
I can't do it because I'll get on the show and go, so why do you think you're popular? Willie Majors died.
Yes.
Are you really popular?
Love.
No, anyway, and where did you grow up?
I grew up in a small town called Ardmona, just outside of Shepparton in rural Victoria.
Yeah.
Yeah. So country boy at heart.
Country boy at heart. And that's relevant to the whole EP, isn't it?
Very much, yeah. This EP is all about growing up in the country as a queer boy and losing my mum and just a lot of the trials and tribulations of growing up as a queer individual in the country.
Yeah. And losing your mum, that happened at 8?
Yeah, that happened at 8.
And that's... So that's not quite what the EP is about, though, is it?
Yeah, I think a lot of people would have expected this project, this 8-song EP, to really center around something as traumatic and, I guess, fundamental as something like that. But a lot of this EP focuses on the aftermath of losing my mum and the way that that has influenced not only me as a person, but my relationships with people, whether that's romantic or platonic or even the relationship with my father, which is named in the EP title.
Yeah. So talk to us about the EP title, Father, Son, and the Space in Between.
Yeah. I wanted it to be a reference to, you know, the sign of the cross of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Not at this show.
All focuses about religion. I wanted it to be like a representation of both the physical space between a father and son when one of them moves away, like me to the city, but also the emotional space that happens between a father and son as you grow up and as you kind of try and defy what you think has been like handed down to you, what you think you're going to inherit.
Fathers and sons have traditionally generated a lot of space in literature and music. It's even when it's going well.
Yeah, I think that there's something innate about like the masculinity involved in a father and son relationship that topics of like repression and emotions and stuff become very, I don't know, they're very sensitive topics because I think that traditionally there isn't a lot of expression in male relationships and it's weird for there not to be that really clear communication between two very close people and between someone who like a child looks up to so fundamentally as a kid.
And it's really interesting, you know, being a father myself, you sort of realize, I guess I was fortunate because my dad left when I was 8 and he's a self-confessed, not a great father. Mm-hmm. So I didn't take any modeling, but I think we get, you know,
but I think
the generational stuff.
Yeah, I think from that though, of like you seeing him not be a good father, you also realized what it meant to be a good father. Mm. So I think either way, whether you have a good father or a bad father or somewhere in the space in between, you kind of figure out what your ideal parenting looks like.
So, unashamedly, been a fan of you since you came in and sang
Build-A-Bear
at the morning news show during a radiothon and then just did a deep dive into your music. I've got to say, and I promised I would gush a little bit on air, this is sensational, this EP.
Thank you.
Like this is such a journey and, you know, I think a lot of people would know you for Twink and then Hindsight came out and kind of just rearranged maybe how you're being perceived. This is an extraordinary work of art.
Thank you.
How did you feel putting it together?
It felt very natural. I think like it flowed out of me very, very easily. I think like with a lot of other songs in the past, I've become very just like critical and very anxious about how I'm wording certain things or how much I'm saying or how much I'm not saying. And with this project and these songs that range from, you know, me talking about my relationship with my dad and seeing him and then stuff about like relationships and stuff like that, I just like wasn't worried at all about how it came across because I was just being as honest as I could.
Yeah.
And if that ended up hurting people or ended up being misconstrued, it was like I'm expressing it in the most honest way that I know. So, yeah, I'm doing everything that I can to tell my story.
And the fact that you're using this medium to do it is it's just an expression of yourself, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So, on one of the few listens I've had so far, at the start of the first song, so which we're going to play in a couple of minutes, Nothing to Call Home About, which is it's my favourite song.
I know, I heard you say that was your favourite, and that makes me so happy.
And I picked it up the other day. There's a sharp intake of breath just at the start and then an exhalation. Sort of, is that me overthinking something or is that really that sort of breath before the deep plunge into what's about to happen?
Yeah, originally, like you're about to hear in a couple of minutes, the song starts with like this big production coming in. It's very overwhelming. And I think in like the original demos, it just felt like too abrupt and too in your face and too overwhelming. So I ended up doing it in a session, like doing this inhale of a breath, almost just to have that connection to humanity, like straight off the bat. And it's like, this is a person breathing in. It's not this electronic production. It's not a guitar. Yeah. It's a human behind this project and these songs. So that's kind of where I wanted it to start. And I wanted it to start with like this deep inhale to be like, prepare for what you're about to take in, because it's going to be a wild ride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is. We're going to listen to Nothing to Call Home About from Tom Nethersole's album Father, Son and the Space in Between. And you're listening to The Open Table on Joy 94.9.
Too good to be true, it's nothing new.
We've just played Nothing to Call Home About. That's an intimate song. How did it feel to sort of play this music and these songs to somebody, to people for the first time?
Oof. I mean, I think it felt just like really exciting. I think I've never had a song that sounds like that before. And it feels like over the last couple of years, this is the music that I've been trying to get to, and this is the sound that I've been trying to aim for. So I don't know, it feels just very cathartic to finally be able to match the sonics with like my taste and match it with writing that I'm really, really proud of and that really hits home for me.
Yeah. Like that song, it's lush.
Yeah.
It's layered and the production's amazing.
Yeah. It's really sick.
How do you go about, because you do all this independently, don't you?
I do it all independently. I've worked with a lot of collaborators on this, but yeah, this is all done independently. I'm not with a label.
No. We'll just pause for a moment there. Let the
moment of silence. If anyone wants to fund anyone my music career, I'd really appreciate it.
Come in here, you know, up and coming queer artist from NAM. Just take your pick. You were saying it was cathartic. So has it had a healing sort of journey for you? Or
I think like writing these songs, I had already kind of healed a lot of what I was talking about, and writing them was just a further continuation of that journey. But I think like the biggest healing part was not for me, but seeing like my sisters and my dad and my brother and stuff listen to these songs about experiences that we went through as a family, and seeing them relate and resonate and project their own experiences onto these songs has been very, very hard, but also very, very beautiful. And my elder sister, Sarah, texted me the other night before the EP came out and said, "Hey, can we grab dinner on Wednesday night? Because I just need to like be reminded that you're okay before this EP drops and before I have to sit with these songs." So that was very, very sweet. And I'm just very, very grateful for them.
For people who haven't heard it, it's not depressing. It's just intimate.
Yeah. It's just like very raw and honest. Yeah.
But there's some lovely little hooks in it and it's quite uplifting. We'll talk about Ardmona Road a bit later because that's
one of the only happy songs on that project. Yeah.
So I was talking about the intimacy, and you just write about and produce some really vivid pictures of moments that impacted you. Like the one for me is the Interrupted Dinners it's the longest title.
How far would you fall if you let go?
Thank you.
Yeah.
How far would you fall if you let go? Thank you. I feel like you're my safety net at this point. So Interrupted Dinners, Boys Who Turn Down the Noise Just to Talk All Over You. There's some beautiful writing in here.
Thank you. Yeah. I am very, very proud of the writing. And I think like collaborating with other writers, both like in NAM, but also like in LA, it's been very, very cool to take like these experiences and like the foundations of this, and I guess like have a soundboard to bounce them against. And a lot of the time I was like meeting people for the first time that I respected and followed for a long time and sharing like these things that I've written about. And I think it was very nice that immediately the walls were brought down and we were just like, oh yeah, I fully understand like what you're trying to say and what this is. And like, we just go back and forth of sharing experiences until we kind of landed on lines that articulated in a way that was both abstract but also like really specific and really hits home.
Yeah. Look, the writing is extraordinary. Do you feel like working with other people just sharpened you?
I think so. I think it also tested my confidence as like an artist. I think a lot of the time, and especially earlier on, I was very insecure about like my artistry and my writing or like my vocals and stuff like that. And I think that working with other artists has really solidified like how proud I am of myself as an artist or like my abilities as a writer, to just like work with those kind of people and have it, I guess, like affirmed or validated and worked out in real time has been very, very nice. And that's something I'm so lucky for.
So how hard have you worked at honing the writing craft?
I mean, I don't know if there's like a way to measure it, but yeah, I would say that it, some of it comes very, very naturally. And I've always really loved writing in English and stuff like that. But yeah, I would say that there's a lot of songs that didn't make it to this EP and that got scrapped because they just like weren't up to the standard that I wanted them to be.
An 8-song EP. Mm-hmm. How close does that have to be before it becomes an album?
Well, Spotify called it an album. So
Spotify called it an album.
It's very like hotly debated because like apparently a record is usually like over 30 minutes and it's like 8 to 9 like plus songs. So yeah, this like somewhat meets like the requirements of an album, but also is like classified as an EP. But yeah, for me, I didn't want to call it an album because I didn't want this to be like my debut album just because I am independent and releasing this independently. And yeah, I think for a debut album, I would want a lot more money behind me. Yeah. But like, I'm so proud of like how this has come out. I don't want to say on a low budget because it's been very expensive to make, even with like working with mates and stuff like that and doing a lot myself.
You went across to LA.
Yeah, I went across to LA and worked with people over there, worked remotely, worked in person with them. So yeah, it's been very, very expensive, but like this is what it's like working as an independent artist. And, you know, I was working like 4 jobs over the last year or so to be able to fund it. Like it's ended up being like $30,000 for this.
Wow.
So yeah, in usual circumstances, a label would give you that money up front. But yeah, doing it independently, that's just money that I've had to try and scavenge for, you know, teaching at a university or video editing during the day, working at a nightclub. Yep. This is the way that we make it work because this is what I want to do.
This is going to be great for the biopic. this part of the story, this is, you know, a complete unknown. You know,
like let's get
Timmy,
it going.
Timmy could play you.
Thank you. That's a massive compliment. Yeah. I'm a bit younger, I think.
Yes, that's true. But I think maybe one of Timmy's sons.
Maybe one of Timmy's sons.
Later on down the track.
Little Timmy. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think Timmy will hold.
I think we look similar enough in terms of like youth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd look, you know, worst things people could say to you on radio.
Exactly. I'm very grateful for that. I'll take it.
Don't know why in particular feels like it's capturing some of the queer experiences here in Nam, in Melbourne. How do you think this album, this EP, how does the EP capture those experiences for you?
Of being queer?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it really captures like the experience of growing up queer in regional Victoria and then moving to the city.
Yep.
There's, you know, Lines in the Bus, which is a second track on the EP, which is all about like being confided in when you're young and having someone come out to you and, you know, you're the only queer people in a small town. And then as you grow up and the world seems to be picking out parts for you, they decide to go back in the closet and never fully realize that part of themselves. And, you know, they end up with a wife. And
yeah,
that was one of the stories that I decided to share in this EP of just how like heartbreaking that is to be confided in and like feel like you have someone else who like you can ride with. And then to have that carpet kind of like swept out from under your feet is very, very hard. And that's a very common experience for a queer person.
Yeah. Walk us through the stories behind how far would you fall if you let go? Because that to me is like just, it's a picture of just a classic domestic situation. It doesn't have to be queer. It's actually anybody's situation where somebody's being dragged away from the table.
Yeah. How far would you fall if you let go was a song that I wrote about kind of seeing the way that work and my dad and that kind of relationship of, you know, him raising 4 kids as a single father after my mum passed away. And I think there was a habit of him throwing himself into his work and obviously to help raise us.
Yeah,
but I think there was definitely resentment in my teenage years of feeling like, oh, I know that you're doing this to help us, but the absence just speaks volumes. And I hate that, you know, we'll sit down for dinner and try and say grace and then you'll get a business call and you'll have to get up and, you know, we'll miss dinner and like these moments where we sit down as a family. We're already such like a broken family missing our mum. Yeah. So it kind of feels like you're mourning 2 parents when only one has passed away.
That's a tough conversation, I imagine.
Very tough conversation. Very hard to write. But yeah, it's, I'm like, I don't know. It's weird to write about. Yeah.
Yeah. A beautiful song. Absolutely beautiful song. So, Tom, could you introduce it for us so I don't butcher it again?
Of course. This is How Far Would You Fall If You Let Go.
And you're listening to The Open Table with Craig Brown, Tom Nethersole, and Ethan Kyoto Hall.
Grip so tight, though your knuckles white. How far would you fall if you let go?
So, listening to the EP, it sort of feels like, you know, you've worked through the ramifications, and you said earlier, you know, it wasn't a healing process because you'd actually been through it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was the work that you had to do to get through that healing?
To heal from those kind of things?
Yeah, yeah, because I'm sure there are people out there who've been through some rough stuff. And how did you get through it?
Oof. I mean, I think just a lot of like stopping and questioning like why I was feeling certain things, or even just sitting in those emotions. I think a lot of the time, when we feel those big emotions or we feel these things flare up and those memories from our past, we want to like squash them or we want to distract ourselves. Yep. And I think a constant thing for me has been trying to sit in those feelings and figure out where it's coming from and try to find a balance between intellectualizing it and just feeling what it is and feel like that raw emotion. I think that's been like the biggest thing for me. But in saying that, like it takes me a long time to process emotions, and it definitely did as a kid growing up, like when my mum passed away. So I think that like this EP is really a testament to feeling like I finally have the words to express what I couldn't express back then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's depressing. It's been very, very sweet. And I'm very proud about like where I've come to now and where, you know, where I am and the people who I have around me. I feel very, very lucky.
How important are the people around you?
I think that like, as much as I claim my, as much as I want to say that I'm very independent, I think that like, I wouldn't be who I am without the people around me. And, especially like my closest friends and stuff like that, they've really influenced who I am and been such a big part of like making me sit in those feelings and not try and distract myself and, not feeling like I have to be certain things for certain people.
Yeah.
Living life for me and not other people has been a big part of that journey. Yeah.
Living life for yourself.
Yeah. I think for a long time I was like making myself smaller or making myself act in certain ways to please other people and to try and like fit within someone else's world. And I think that was such a disservice to not only the people around me who I love, but also to myself and who I want to be. It was making me unhappy and it was making people around me unhappy. So yeah, that was definitely like the big hurdle to jump over.
Yeah. It feels like there's a few lines on the EP that talk about how, you know, like in Mess That I Am, you write, to make matters worse, I'd rather stay hurt than do the work. Mm-hmm. So it feels like there was a temptation along the way just to go, did you feel like at times it was too hard to get into it?
I think so. I think like that line of the, to make matters worse, I'd rather stay hurt than put in the work. That was really like a thing of, I don't know if you feel the same, but when you're in these feelings of like feeling totally sad or like feeling really stressed or feeling really overwhelmed, I think there's a tendency for us to want to just like, I don't know, push it away or, I think some of us like feeling sad or like the struggle, or I think when you've been sad or depressed for so long, I think being in that state feels more comfortable than the unknown of trying to get better. Yeah. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
You get so used to the depression that's where home is, even though it's uncomfortable and horrible. Mm. Sometimes it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's important to feel the feelings and acknowledge them. But I guess, as you're saying, when it's hard to get out.
Yeah. And I think there's just like, there's a level of self-awareness that comes into that of like realizing that you're being a little bit self-destructive and that you're not putting like your best interest at heart.
Yeah.
That there's a part of you that kind of wants to be stressed or feel like you have something to like fight back against, that, you know, the world is out to get you, as opposed to like, you have all the resources at your hand to get out of this and to help your way through. It's going to be painful.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that, but you have everything you need to get yourself out of this.
It's you know, I've only known you for a year or so.
A year or so, yeah.
It's hard to imagine that you were going through that, because you seem like quite Thanks. Level-headed.
Thank you.
But again, it's that public persona, not necessarily a celebrity public persona, mm-hmm. but just that, oh, I'm around people, so I've got to act in a certain way.
Yeah, and I think it definitely fluctuates. And like the mess that I am, that was a time when I was feeling so horrible and, you know, so deep in my depression. And that song writing, that was really the catalyst for me getting on medication, which has done wonders for me over the last year or so. Of just feeling a lot more regulated. Mm. Yeah.
Because that's the other side of it, isn't it? It's great to have good people around you, do the inner work yourself, but how important has it been to have sort of that professional help along the way?
It's been like really, really big. I mean, I have been in therapy for years and like that was fine, but I kind of like knew what I was feeling. Like I felt like they're telling me things I already know. Like they're not helping that much. Sorry to my therapist if you're listening. But like that's been helpful, and having people around me who I love has been very helpful. But I think that like it got to a point where, you know, I was making the bed and I was going for the walks and I was eating healthy and I was seeing new friends, I was seeing old friends, and it got to this point where no matter what I was doing, you know, it had been months and months and I was still feeling so horrible and stuck. And that was kind of the catalyst for me getting over my fear of being medicated.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're going through any issues like this, you know, it's a good time to touch in with your GP, and certainly talk to people around you. It sounds like an introspective sort of EP from what we've been talking about. But as you said, there's a lot of collaboration.
Yeah, I worked with a lot of people on this. I think there was like probably 20 or 30 people that I worked on this with, from artists to producers. And yeah, it was very, very sweet to work with all of them.
Don't Know Why is Ethan's favorite.
I know. He was saying that in the break.
It is.
Yep.
Why is it your favorite?
I don't know why.
He's been sitting on that one.
I have.
He has clearly been sitting on that one.
Yes.
It's good.
I like How did you and Jax Giles web meet?
We actually met over TikTok, and then I just fell in love with his voice and the way that he produces music and just his songwriting. And then, yeah, we kept interacting with each other's stuff on social media until we ended up meeting in person and, you know, realizing that we had a lot of mutuals. And yeah, we just sat there and talked about like what we were going through at that time. And then that same session of us meeting for the first time, we wrote this song, Don't Know Why.
And I think on socials, you put out the first demo. Mm-hmm. It sounds so similar to what's actually
It's
up
very as. True to its core, yeah.
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 Yeah, okay. So we're going to listen to Don't Know Why by Tom and Jax Giles Webb. So you're listening to The Open Table with Craig Brown, Tom Nethersole, Ethan Kyoto Hall, and it's his favourite song from the EP, Father, Son, and the Space in Between. And you're listening to Joy 94.9. Ethan, did you enjoy listening to Don't Know Why, your favourite song?
I did. Thanks for adding it last minute.
Oh, you know me. Everything's last minute.
Very accommodating.
I am a very accommodating person.
Always very prepared.
Always very prepared. Oh, no, hang on. I am. That felt. And, of course, we've got Tom Nethersole in here talking about his EP, Father, Son, and the Space in Between. Tom, musical influences. What would you say has come out on this?
I'd say that like EP. the big influences for this EP, it sounds like has references of like Ryan Beatty, Noah Kahan, Conan Gray. I'd say that those are pretty big influences for this. And then Ardmona Road, or some of the more like upbeat pop tracks, I'd say like some of them lean towards a bit more like rural in the vocal tone.
Yeah. Okay. See, I'm loving Conan Gray at the moment.
We were just talking about the Wishbone tour. Yeah, so excited.
I'm so excited for that. We're going.
I know. I can't talk about it. I'm so jealous.
And as a gay couple, we've planned something that's going to happen in October next year.
A proposal?
No, it's the concert.
Oh, got you.
The concert is happening October next year.
Wait, but what makes that gay?
Well, no. The whole thing that for a gay couple to plan something 12 months in advance.
Right, that's saying something. That's practically a ring.
Oh, look, an engagement. I think we need to...
I feel like that's a bit stronger than a ring.
You think?
Concert tickets?
Making plans in 12 months.
Well, plans in 12 months, it's a big thing. No, I don't know. We just said that the other day. It was like...
Weddings you can cancel.
That's right.
That's true. That's right. So true. Yeah, no,
I've always said that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I live my life.
That's your next EP. Yeah. Weddings you can cancel, concerts you're stuck with.
If I could only go on about how many weddings I've cancelled.
That's right. Oh, it feels like you're moving into your country era.
I am. Yeah.
That's sort of like weddings you can cancel, but...
Sing it. No. On the spot. Improvise.
No, I'm not doing it on the spot. Yeah, but I think talking about Conan Gray is like, because I was saying to you off air, I think you and him are kind of my favourites at the moment with just the way you tell a story.
Thank you. That's so nice to be put in the same sentence as him. So, yeah. Yeah, really like his storytelling. Yeah. Yes. Thank
you. Well, it is. It's, you feel like you're getting you listen to one of your songs and you feel like you're getting a slice of life, which is something that's, I think it's always been there, like Kamikaze Man, Build-A-Bear mm-hmm. with telling stories. Is that something that you're consciously doing or is it just opening up and letting it flow?
I feel like it just makes sense to me. But yeah, I always get really annoyed when there's like a song that's a bit too like abstract or just like is a bit too pretentious with itself.
Yeah.
And I guess like even though I'm writing to kind of heal what I'm going through and express myself, I think there comes a time like when you finish writing the song and you maybe go into edit it where you're considering the listener for the first time and you're thinking like, does this make sense and how does this read on first impression for a listener? And yeah, how strong is it as a narrative and what can be improved? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's very, very important because if a listener can't follow along and they can't, you know, sink into this story, then I think you've missed a really key part of songwriting, in my opinion.
Yeah. How present is the listener in the room with you?
It's interesting because I try not to think about the listener too much. And I was saying the other day that like there are some songs that I wrote and I would envision like, oh, this is how I'm going to perform it on stage. Yeah. And like, this is the kind of like set or the dance moves I want to do. Or like, I'm so excited for like this certain person who comes to my shows to hear this certain lyric or something like that. But then there's some other songs where I'm like, I hope this never comes out. Like, like no one's ever going to hear this lyric. And then yeah, I make it the title track of the EP. So yeah, there's definitely times when I try not to like consider the listener because I think that that can like detach myself from it. And then I'm like kind of making the music for someone else, like right at its core.
Yeah.
So I think that it's a balance of like trying to involve the listener and trying to be considerate of them, but also like keeping, I don't know, the crux of it being like your expression and your storytelling.
Is that one of the upsides of the independent sort of production is that you really can do it for you?
100%. Yeah. I could say whatever I want and I could produce it in any way that I want. And I mean, that's what this is. That is what I did. But yeah, I think that is one benefit of not being with a label or something like right now is that I have complete control.
Yeah.
And I guess that's a blessing and a curse that it's really all on my shoulders and I'm like the one leading this team. Yeah.
How many people does it take to put this together?
This EP?
Yeah.
I would say that like, it's probably between like 20 and 30 people. There was one to two people mixing it. There was about two to three people mastering it. There was probably about 8 to 10 producers on this, or about 8 producers, I think. And then, yeah, there's musicians who are playing like drums and guitars. There's artists who I was writing with both in NAM and in LA. And then there's, you know, there's videographers and there's people in the music videos. There's my manager, Michaela from Tall Poppy Management. Like there's so many people involved in creating this and, yeah, I'm very grateful for all the people that I got to work with on this because I think they're super talented. And I think one of my favorite things about making this EP is like bringing artists that I love in Melbourne and I guess like bringing us all together to create this. And yeah, that's what I'm excited about for like the live shows and breathing new life into this is like bringing together, you know, Jordy Thomas and Jax Giles Webb, who you just heard on Don't Know Why, and Alex Bicknell on the drums. Like I'm bringing together my friends and artists that I really admire to be part of the band and, you know, make these songs translate live. That's something I'm really excited for.
Tell me about the live shows because you've got a range.
Got a range, yeah. I've got an EP launch on November 15th. It's a Saturday show from like 3 to 5 p.m. I want it to be like an afternoon show so it's like kind of chill and so that it's also accessible. And it's, you know, 18 plus, but under 18 if accompanied with an adult. And that was a decision that I was very conscious of making because, you know, these songs were written about a time in my life where I would have killed to feel seen in this way and feel validated with songs like this. And to have any kind of form of, I guess, words to put to these feelings. And I guess that's all you have as a teenager or as a kid is emotions, and you don't have the words or, you know, the brain capacity to deal with it.
That's the beauty of music, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that somebody will start singing something and you go, oh, that's how I'm feeling. Yeah.
That's how you articulate that.
Yeah.
So I think that was a big part of, you know, putting on these shows. As I said to my manager, Michaela, like, we have to make these accessible to people under 18 so that, you know, the people who are 15, 16, 17 can come to these shows and feel seen and feel like they have a place where they can, you know, express themselves. That's outside of, you know, the confinements of school, where I know it can feel very constricting.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And so that's the EP launch.
That's the big one with the band. And then I've got a Liberate show at Mama Chen's in Footscray on the 28th of November, and then a Reverie Room back at the Bergie Band Room on December 4th.
That's the one I'm going to. Yeah.
And then 2 days after that, I'll finish the year off with Spilt Milk. Yeah. Up in Ballarat.
Ballarat.
Yeah. I've never been to Spilt Milk, so I'm so excited that this is my first one. Is performing,
rubbing shoulders with Kendrick and
Dochi, Somba, Don Fike. Yeah,
Somba. I'm
a big fan.
Yeah, just recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
very cool music. Yeah, I'm so excited to be, like, the fact that my name is on that lineup is so sick. Yeah.
So, are you an afternoon slot or?
I think I'm very one of the early ones. I think, yeah. So I'll get up bright and early for that.
Yeah,
yeah.
And just perform in front of a fairly big crowd.
Well, hopefully at that time in the morning.
Yeah.
Then afterwards, can go party and go enjoy the other sets and
The
backstage pass.
That's a thing of beauty.
I'm worried what would happen if you got a backstage pass.
Look, no, I think I'd be reasonably well behaved at that particular gig.
Uh huh. What gig would you not be well behaved at?
Conan Gray.
Yeah. I'm worried to ask more.
Cub Sport.
Oh, yeah. You're a big Cub Sport fan.
Big Cub Sport fan. Hello, Cub Sport. We had Tim on earlier in the year.
How was that?
Oh, like it was a short interview.
Mm-hmm. Only Tim?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because they were promoting their stuff at the St. Kilda Festival.
Yeah, cute.
So that was great. So hopefully get them back. I think they're in the middle of writing new stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I'm loving their stuff with under the Two Charm umbrella.
That is them.
Yeah.
Thank you. I was looking at that the other day. I'm going, that's them.
Of course, yeah.
It's their faces. Tim and Sam. I didn't have my glasses on.
Yeah.
You cleared that up for me.
Of course.
Oh, this is why you get guests back for the fourth time.
Yes. I've got my
contacts. I thought I recognized those tattoos. Yeah. Now when you say that sounds a little creepy. A little creepy.
This has been fun. Thank you so much for having me.
That's all right. The door's over there.
Yeah, no worries.
Jokes aside, mm-hmm. fun aside, it's just been so good to have you back.
It's always so nice to be here. So seriously, thank you so much.
You know, it's amazing when you love somebody's music and then something new comes out. There's kind of that moment of
fear.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. And it's like, there was no need to worry. No need to worry because this is beautiful. Tom, just give us an intro to Ard Mona Road, because you've ended the EP on this. Was that deliberate in the sense that you wanted to?
There was kind of like two main reasons that I wanted to end this EP that's all about moving away. I wanted to end it with this song about taking the person you love back home to meet your family for the first time and taking them back to the country where I grew up. And the first reason is that I wanted it to kind of be this bookmark of the first song is called Nothing to Call Home About, and then this last song is Ard Mona Road, and it's taking someone back to meet your parents and your family and hang out. So that was one reason that I felt like it was a nice bookend, and they felt like sister songs in the way that one was like very warm and euphoric and the other one is like very cold and synthy and large. But the other reason that I wanted to end it is that I felt like this EP was, I don't know, very sad and very depressing, and that kind of like moves between upbeat and very sad. So I wanted to end it on this song that just feels optimistic. And a lot of this EP is looking back and it's very retrospective, and it felt really sweet to end it with this optimistic look forward of I'll take you home. And you know,
because when you've been through some shit, it's good to have that and go, actually there's hope.
Yeah. And I think like at the end of the mess that I am with the line that you brought up before of, I'd rather stay hurt than put in the work. There's this idea of like, oh, sitting in these feelings, maybe that's more comfortable. But I think it's important to kind of look forward.
Tom, Great. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
It's so good to have you back. Ethan, thank you for your sterling work as usual. We are going to be back next week with writer and journalist Daniel Noor, and you have been listening to The Open Table on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to The Open Table here on Joy. If you missed part of the conversation or want to catch more, find the podcast at joy.org.au/theopentable.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.